Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Leading Off. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me is my producer and current trainer for the Ironman competition, Brendan Tuma, and you can find him on Twitter at TooMuchTuma. It was the weekend and nothing much really happened, so we're just going to end the show. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Tuesday, everyone. No, it was the weekend. I really need like 40 minutes for the show. But that would, quote, violate my contract, unquote. So let's do what we can to move this thing along. Now we're going to do our usual weekend breakdown, but we're going to reverse it a bit from our typical order. We're going to start with the standout performances from this weekend, where we will spend the majority of our time. Then we're going to jump into any closer developments, and finally close with some injury updates. And then, of course, I will tell you what to look out for in today's games. There's no time to waste today, so let's get into it. Now, I have not checked the numbers on this, but this weekend must have had the highest double-digit strikeout performances of any weekend in recent memory. And the headliner of that was Shane Bieber, who allowed 5 hits and struck out a whopping 15 in his complete game shutout over the Orioles on Sunday. Do you like swinging strikes? Because Bieber gave you 27 of them. Do you like called strikes? Because Bieber had 24 of them. Do you like strikes generally? Fine, you get the idea. And let's be clear, the Orioles are a terrible baseball team, but that is more because of their pitching staff that gives up home rates at a preposterous pace. They're not the worst offense in the game. Coming into yesterday, they had struck out 397 times, which was only 15th worst in the league. And they had scored just 176 runs, but that was only the 8th worst in the league. So we are not talking about the lowest scoring team in the majors here. Especially with Bieber's lack of overpowering stuff, he is susceptible to the occasional rough outing. But he's a top 20 starter, and he should be started every time out, including in his next start against the Rays. Now, although Bieber is the headline, we saw plenty of other big-time strikeout games this weekend. Both Jordan Lyles and Aaron Nola struck out 12, while Rich Hill, Frankie Montas, and Chris Sale struck out 10. Lyles, who allowed just one run over 7 innings against the Padres on Saturday, now has a 1.97 ERA, a 1.05 whip, and more than a strikeout per inning on the season. Now, Lyles had a couple of poor starts in late April after he was hit in the hand by a comebacker, but he's been lights out of late, allowing just one run in each of his previous 3 starts. Now, Lyles has been a little lucky this year, as would almost anyone with a sub-2 ERA. He's got a 3.24 FIP and a 3.94 XFIP. For the most part, it's been his ability to give up weak contact, and his swinging strike rate doesn't really support his overall strikeout rate. But he's obviously more than usable for fantasy, and he is widely available. He's just 46% owned. Now, Lyles is the type of guy that fantasy owners just like to ignore. He's like Zach Davies, guys who have lengthy track records of not having success who happen to be pitching extremely well at the moment. And that's all understandable, but that's reason enough not to pursue them in a trade. It's not necessarily a reason to leave them out on the waiver wire when they can help you. Now, you don't need to marry him, but let the guy take you out on a couple of drinks or something. In other words, Lyles is a guy to add and start, but be ready to cut bait if and when things go south. Unlike Lyles, you're certainly already dating and probably engaged to Aaron Nola, who allowed one run on 8 hits and a walk over 6 innings to go along with his 12 strikeouts against the Rockies on Saturday. Frankly, Nola's line should have been much, much better, but Gabe Kapler let him start the 7th inning with an elevated pitch count, and he let the first 2 runners reach base. One game with 12 strikeouts and 15 swinging strikes is not enough to calm fears with Nola, and he still does have a 4.47 ERA and a 1.55 whip. But this is now the 4th time in 5 starts that he has allowed just one run, so overall, he is certainly trending in the right direction. He'll take on the Cubs next, where he should continue to start him. Rich Hill and Frankie Montas weren't nearly as good this weekend, as they were only able to strike out 10. Hill's efforts came over 6 shutout innings against the Reds on Friday. Chances are that you hadn't gotten too worried about Hill after his mediocre beginning to the season, but he now has a 3 ERA and a 1.05 whip with more than a strikeout per inning through 4 starts. This is pretty much exactly what you bargained for. Now, it's worth noting that Hill had some extra rest for this start, 7 days in fact, and for his career, Hill has just a 2.86 ERA with 6 plus days of rest, which is much, much better than when he has 5 days of rest or fewer. Now, the Dodgers could look to keep Hill going with extended rest, which would benefit Hill but slightly hurt him in weekly lineup leagues because he will lose out on the 2 start weeks. Now, he is going to take on the Pirates on Friday, which will be on 6 days rest, so you can expect a perfect game. Frankie Montas is still available in 39% of leagues, and that just does not make a whole lot of sense, guys. Montas narrowly missed his first complete game on Friday, after he allowed 2 runs on 4 hits over 8 2/3 innings. Montas now has just a 2.67 ERA and a 1.13 whip with nearly a strikeout per inning. He has not allowed more than 3 earned runs in any of his starts this season. His ERA is entirely backed by his 2.92 FIP and his 3.34 xFIP. And he has a 53.5 ground ball rate, 8th best in the majors. This is a set-it-and-forget-it starter, guys, so go check and see if he is available in your league. He's going to take on the Indians in his next outing. And Chris Sale struck out 10 Astros over 5 1/3 innings on Sunday. 10 strikeouts is the norm at this point for Sale, who has reached that number in 4 straight and 5 of his last 6 outings. But the Astros are the second hardest team to strike out in the majors behind only the Angels, so it was an impressive feat. Now, it wasn't the sharpest outing for Sale. He did walk 5 and give up 3 runs. But there's a good chance that he's going to lead the majors in strikeouts when all is said and done. Other solid pitching performances included Max Fried, who pitched 6 shutout innings against the Brewers on Friday while striking out 5, Masahiro Tanaka, who pitched 6 shutout innings against the Rays, and Blake Snell, who struck out 9 against the Yankees. And don't forget Hyunjin Ryu, of course, who dominated once again. Now, Fried bounced back nicely from a couple of subpar outings, and he now has a 2.86 ERA and a 1.13 whip. I just mentioned Frankie Montas' ground ball rate, but Fried's is actually a little bit better, at 54.5%, 6th best in the majors. Fried has largely earned his success and should be started every time out, especially in his next outing against the Giants. As for Tanaka, he threw 6 shutout innings against the Rays on Saturday, allowing just 3 hits while striking out 6. Now, the performance was excellent, but he did leave early with a shin contusion after taking a comebacker. It sounds like Tanaka will be able to make his next start against the Orioles, but it is not set in stone, so those in weekly leads need to make a choice. Given the matchup, however, it's worth the risk to keep Tanaka in your lineup. Tanaka's counterpart on Saturday, Blake Snell, was dominant as usual, allowing just 1 run and striking out 9 over 6 innings. Here's really all you need to know about how dominant Snell has been. Max Scherzer led baseball last year with a 16.2% swinging strike rate. That was the highest since 2002, when Randy Johnson had a slightly higher 16.3% swinging strike rate. Snell's swinging strike rate this year is 19.2%. That is absurd. His next start is going to be against the Indians, where if you bench him, you are a bad person. And Hyunjin Ryu extended his scoreless streak to 31 innings with 7 shutout innings against the Reds on Sunday. Ryu has a 1.52 ERA and a 0.74 whip on the season. I really don't know what more we can say right now. Sell high, because this is ridiculous and because of the injury risk. But nothing looks crazy here, to be clear. Ryu has developed into a great starter, so go ahead and enjoy the ride if you can't get a King's Ransom. Alright, that was a lot of pitching, but there were plenty of notable hitting performances too, including Bryce Harper, who went 5-for-12 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI this weekend. Bryce Harper will be fine, you guys. Yeah, his average may suffer a bit, but he's gonna hit. Relax. As will Chris Bryant, who narrowly missed being the first player in Major League Baseball history to homer in 4 consecutive innings this weekend. Bryant homered 3 times on Friday night and is suddenly on pace for 40 home runs and 115 RBI. Bryant's WOBA is in the top 6% of the league right now. If you believed in him at the beginning of the season, you are going to be rewarded. After not starting on Friday or Saturday, Ryan McMahon homered 2 times on Sunday against the Phillies. McMahon has not had a good season, as we have discussed several times, hence the Brendan Rodgers call-up. But with the Rockies needing wins, they are going to play whoever is hot. And as cold as McMahon has been, he is burning with the fire of 1,000 suns compared to Daniel Murphy. At this point, I'm going to be surprised if there isn't another IL stint on tap for Murphy, whether it's because of his finger or just as an excuse to not have to play him without embarrassing him. I personally do not want to drop Murphy because I can't imagine that his skills are gone, but you cannot possibly play him right now. Nick Senzel stole his 5th base of the season in his 15th game on Sunday. Senzel has speed, but his career high for stolen bases in a minor league season is 18. And a lot of times, you see players steal less in the majors, both because of the consequences of a failed attempt and because catchers are just better. But that obviously does not seem to be the case with Senzel, who is running with abandon. When considering your team needs, if you do own Senzel, bake in more steals than you originally thought. Josh Bell hit his 14th home run this weekend after his 3rd multi-homer game of the season on Saturday. Josh Bell has 14 home runs this year, and hit 12 home runs all of last year. Josh Bell is in the top 3% of the league in barrel percentage and tied for third in the league in average exit velocity. Dan owned Josh Bell in a keeper league. Dan traded Josh Bell this offseason. Don't be like Dan. Hold Josh Bell. You know who else barrels the ball well? CJ Cron, who's in the top 6% in barrel percentage and hit 2 home runs on Saturday. Cron now has 12 homers. That's more than Nolan Arenado, Rhys Hoskins, and Mike Trout. Byron Buxton hit a grand slam on Saturday. He has dropped his strikeout rate from 30.5% to 23.2% this year. His barrel rate, average exit velocity, and launch angle are all way up from his career, and he has a 239 ISO. It is finally happening. Byron Buxton is a thing. Okay, let's run through the injury updates because there were plenty. Nelson Cruz was finally placed on the injured list with his wrist injury on Friday. By waiting so long, the Twins lost a day of retroactivity, as an IL stint can only be backdated 3 days. So Cruz's stint is retroactive to Tuesday, and he is eligible to be activated this weekend. With Miguel Sano back and playing well, by the way, the Twins roster is fairly full, and both Sano and Marwin Gonzalez should continue to play regularly in Cruz's absence. Now, Gonzalez will likely go back to a super utility role once Cruz comes back, but after an abysmal start, he has been hot in May, batting .355 with 2 home runs and 13 runs scored. Especially with the Twins facing a soft schedule this week, Gonzalez is a good short-term play and should still hold some long-term value. George Springer was removed from Sunday's game against the Red Sox with lower back tightness after striking out 3 times. Springer is going to be unavailable today, and he will be reevaluated. If you are in a weekly league, I personally would not risk starting Springer. The Astros have a huge division lead, and there is no reason to rush Springer, especially with how he has faded due to injury in recent seasons. Jake Marisnik could see increased playing time, or it could be Jordan Alvarez or Kyle Tucker time. If you have room, stash either or both and wait for word. Yasiel Puig sprained his right shoulder, making an excellent catch and lunging into the stands on Sunday. Puig remained in the game for another at-bat before asking out. Right now he is considered day-to-day, but an IL stint is obviously possible. The Reds don't play until Tuesday in Milwaukee, so in a weekly lineup league, I'd probably play it safe if you have another option. Javi Baez left Sunday night's game with a heel contusion. He said he expects to be in the lineup on Monday against the Phillies, but obviously monitor the situation. Zach Greinke got good news on his side issue as his MRI came back clean. He's going to start Tuesday against the Padres. David Price is going to start today against the Blue Jays. He's expected to be limited to about 5 or 6 innings, but it is a 2-start week, and with a soft matchup, it's hard to sit him here. Jose Altuve is going to need a rehab assignment before coming back, but it sounds like that assignment should be imminent. If all goes well, it sounds like Altuve may be able to rejoin the Astros over the weekend or early next week. His replacement, Aledmys Diaz, suffered a mild hamstring strain himself on Friday and missed Saturday's and Sunday's games. It's unclear if Diaz is going to need an IL stint, but Yuli Gurriel should continue to man second base in the meantime for the Astros. Trevor Williams was placed on the 10-day injured list on Friday with a strain in his right side. It's unclear how long he'll miss, but we know that anything near the oblique is usually longer than the minimum stay. It looks like for now both Nick Kingham and Stephen Brault will remain in the Pirates rotation, though neither is fantasy relevant. Jorge Alfaro suffered a mild left calf strain on Saturday, stealing his first base of the season, and sat out on Sunday. Now the Marlins are off today, so fantasy owners are a bit up in the air here. If there is a decent catcher option on the wire, go ahead and take it. Otherwise, it is probably worth it to wait it out for Alfaro because you're not missing out on much. That was the same advice with Buster Posey this past week, who returned from the concussion IL on Friday and went 4-for-10 with a run scored and an RBI over the weekend against the Diamondbacks. Those numbers likely dwarf what you would have gotten from a replacement catcher. Sometimes taking a zero is okay. Brewers right-hander Jimmy Nelson allowed just 3 hits in 5 1/3 innings in his start in AAA on Friday. He struck out 8. Nelson is going to make one more rehab start, and then if all goes well, he'll be promoted to the majors. A prime stash candidate, despite missing all of last year recovering from shoulder surgery, Nelson is still owned in just 11% of leagues. Pick him up now if you can. And it is an injury update, so you know we're going to talk about some Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton is slated to start a rehab assignment for Class A Tampa today. Assuming he does, and all goes as expected, he could be back sometime next week. And Didi Gregorius is going to play in his first extended spring training game today and is expected to return in June. Okay, let's end the weekend recap with some closer time. Time for you to go. I'm sorry, I have no filter. Despite sitting on the bench for like 2 weeks, Hector Neris is your Phillies closer, guys. He got a clean save on Friday and a two-inning save on Saturday. Ignore the Pat Neshek save on Sunday. Neris was just unavailable. There are no worries there. Jose Alvarado finally got the save opportunity for the Rays against the Yankees on Friday and blew it, allowing 3 runs. So, of course, he also gets another save chance the following day and converts. Own the Rays relievers for their ratios if you would like. Any saves are just a bonus. Luke Jackson got a one-out save on Friday against the Brewers but blew the save on Saturday. No worries, he remains the undisputed closer in Atlanta, mainly because there's no one there to take his job. Jose Leclerc was the opener on Friday for the Rangers against the Cardinals and pitched a scoreless inning while striking out 2. He then pitched 2 scoreless innings while striking out 5 on Sunday. Meanwhile, Chris Martin allowed a run on Sunday. Leclerc has now faced 13 batters and struck out 10 in his last 3 appearances. And better yet, he has not walked a batter over that span. It's likely just a matter of time before he gets his next save chance. Leclerc is available in 44% of leagues, and add him now. Hansel Robles earned the save for the Angels over the Royals on Friday, while Ty Buttrey earned the save on Saturday. Both of Buttrey's saves this season have come after Robles has worked the previous day, so it seems likely that Robles is first in line. But Buttrey is as or more ownable than anyone in the Rays bullpen. Jordan Hicks had been lights out recently but picked a bad time to struggle on Sunday. Hicks retired the side in a tied game against the Rangers in the 9th inning, but then allowed 2 hits and a walk to tie the game. Carlos Martinez pitched well in relief but could not prevent the winning run from scoring. Hicks's job is certainly safe for now, but every time he struggles makes Carlos Martinez's presence loom larger. Martinez is not a mustache by any means, but keep your eyes on him. Finally, Matt Barnes pitched the 8th inning on Sunday while Brandon Workman got the save against the Astros. Barnes was brought in to face Carlos Correa and the 4-5-6 of the Astros lineup. This is just a reminder that although Barnes is the guy to own for the Red Sox, he's not going to get every save opportunity. As for today, well, I'm watching plenty of things, but my focus is going to be on Yu Darvish against the Phillies. After his 11-strikeout, 0-walk performance, I would love to see another solid start. If so, he can start the long road toward earning your trust again. And that is going to do it for today's episode of Leading Off. Make sure to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast and check your feed every weekday morning. Again, you can always find me on Twitter at DanHarris80 or Brendan at TooMuchTuma if you want to talk about the show. Enjoy your day, everyone. We'll catch up tomorrow.